Until the traveling days are done, we need to stay close to him, near to our Lord, listening carefully to his word, listening carefully to his voice, speaking to us in the scriptures. So now as we approach our sermon text, let's pray together for God the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds to understand the scriptures. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is out of our great desperation that we cry out to you tonight for the power of your Spirit to move in our midst and grant understanding into your word. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would be pleased to reveal yourself in our midst. We pray that you would be pleased to magnify the glory of your name amongst us this evening. We pray that you would be pleased to show us how we ought to live. We thank you, Father, that 2,000 years ago, you inspired these words penned by the Apostle Paul by the power of your Holy Spirit. And they stand for us now. They rest inerrantly in the pages of our Bibles as a testament of how you have worked through your people in the past. And it is our longing and it is the cry of our hearts that you would work amongst us and in our midst in a like manner. We pray, Father, that out of our congregation there would be those of whom it is spoken, they refreshed the hearts of the saints. Lord, that will only happen if it is your will that by your Spirit you should make it happen. And these things come to pass through the application of your word to our hearts. So we pray and we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hung and died on a cross that we might be forgiven, redeemed, and restored into relationship with you, and to bear witness to his lordship to the ends of the earth, that you would be pleased to grant us that understanding and to apply these words to our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sermon text this evening is Paul's letter to Philemon. We'll read the whole letter, and God willing, I hope to preach two sermons on this letter, and this will be the first. So if you have your Bibles, please do turn to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The title of our sermon this evening is How to Be a Refreshing Christian. How to be a refreshing Christian. Because that is what Paul commends Philemon for, that he refreshed the hearts of the saints. He refreshed them through his love for them and through his love for the Lord Jesus and his faith in the Lord Jesus. The people of God, they were refreshed in themselves by Philemon. That's how Paul commends Philemon. And that commendation and that affirmation is the basis of an appeal that Paul makes later in the letter for Philemon's slave, Onesimus, who had been a runaway slave. He had fled. And bizarrely, after he had fled, he had found himself coming into contact with Paul and hearing the gospel. And in the sovereign providence of our Lord, coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of that in verse 10, where he talks of how Onesimus has become a son to him. He has been converted under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, even while the Apostle Paul has been in chains, and Onesimus has been a runaway slave. And now that he is converted, Paul says that he is sending him back, but he is asking Philemon to treat Onesimus with compassion, to extend a compassionate treatment to him. We'll study the details of Paul's appeal in the next sermon, but this sermon is going to focus on the first 7 verses and the commendation that Paul gives to Philemon. This is one of the shortest books in the New Testament. It's only 25 verses, and only 2 and 3 John are shorter than it. So now as we look at this text and we look at the first 7 verses, we're going to do so in 3 parts, under 3 headings. First of all, we're going to look at the people who are mentioned in the introduction of the letter. Verses 1 to 3. Then we're going to look at the prayer that Paul prays for Philemon, verses 4 to 6. And then we're going to look at the pleasant refreshment in verse 7. So those are our 3 points: the people, the prayer, and the pleasant refreshment. So, point 1, the people. The first 3 verses, let's read them together. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go through these verses person by person and see who is involved. Well, who's this letter from? Who's the principal author of this text? It's Paul. And how does he introduce himself? A prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, think about how he introduces himself in Ephesians or Colossians. Paul introduces himself as Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And here he lowers himself and he says that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He presents himself in lowly terms. He introduces himself in humble terms. And it's a reality check for Philemon, actually, about the sacrifices that Paul has made in being a faithful apostle and minister of the gospel. Preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has meant Paul has been imprisoned. He is in chains as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And introducing himself in this way, he's also identifying with Onesimus. He's identifying with the slave in a way, in being counted as a prisoner, as being counted among the lowly, as being counted as one who, humanly speaking, doesn't have that freedom. But ultimately, he points to the Lord Jesus' sovereignty over his chains, because he says that he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So though he is in chains, though his freedom is limited, and he identifies with Onesimus in that way, the Lord is sovereign over those chains, and he is there because the Lord has planned that for him. So Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, is the principal author, but he's writing with Timothy, our brother. It is noteworthy that Paul speaks of Timothy as his brother, even though Paul had been a father in the Lord to Timothy and was many decades older than him. And yet he speaks of him here as a brother, again showing that humility on Paul's part. He models humility to Philemon, which will be an important part, we'll come to see, of the appeal that he then makes for how Philemon ought to treat Onesimus. So Paul and Timothy are the ones who are sending the letter, and Paul is the principal author. He writes it in his own hand. But who does it go to? It goes to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. He is the primary recipient of the letter. It's principally addressed to him. He's probably the minister of a church in Colossae. He will have been a man of considerable means because he was in a position to host the church in his home. And Paul calls him a beloved friend and fellow laborer, which is special because Paul is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Philemon is a minister of a house church. And so Paul addresses him as a fellow laborer, a beloved friend. He's not putting himself above Philemon as he prepares to make this appeal. Paul is lowering himself and showing Philemon respect, great respect. He addresses him with warm-hearted affection and love. The letter is also addressed to the beloved Apphia. She will have been a significant woman in the house church, possibly even Philemon's wife, as some of the commentators say. And so this will have demonstrated wisdom on Paul's part to address the letter to Philemon's wife as well and to involve her in the appeal that he makes for Onesimus. It also goes to Archippus, our fellow soldier. Interestingly, he had also been mentioned in Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 4 and verse 17, where Paul wrote, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." So Paul knew Archippus and wrote to him in a separate letter calling him to be obedient and to fulfill the ministry that he had received. So he was another key leader among the churches in Colossae, possibly a minister or elder. And so we should note and take a moment and recognize how these Christian men are addressed by the apostle. They're called laborers and soldiers. That's how their work in the church is described. They're described as laborers and soldiers in the Lord's work. And the letter also goes, by extension, to the church in your house, to the church in Philemon's house. So Paul's request to Philemon then was to be made and understood by the church that met in his house. And that's significant because it would have added another layer of accountability to the appeal that Paul made to Philemon, because the church would have heard and knew of this appeal that was being made, this request that was being made by the apostle to Philemon. So those are the people who are involved. Paul is the author. He's writing with Timothy, and he's writing principally to Philemon and those around Philemon. And he's treating them with the utmost respect, granting them the utmost dignity, and speaking to them with warm-hearted love and affection. And he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This blessing, it points to the one who binds them all together, the one who bonds them all together. It communicates more than just goodwill. It's not generic well-wishing. He calls them to remember that it is grace that brought them into the church in the first place. The grace of the Lord Jesus that called sinners out of darkness and death into light and life, and set them in this house church that Philemon was privileged to be called to lead. Grace to you. And peace, because peace flows from it. Deep, abiding peace flows from this grace. A contented wholeness, a satisfaction, and a rest. Peace from God. That is what Paul wishes for them. And it's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He points them to the source of these blessings, the God from whom they flow, and the Lord Jesus by whom they are mediated. Paul points them to look to God. Their relationships are grounded in God's work in the world. God is the one who has bound them all together in the church. What would have united these names, Paul and Timothy, Archippus and Philemon, if it were not but for the grace of God? They'd all been called out of darkness and death into light and life in the church and made a fellowship of saints by the grace of God. And so that's how Paul begins his letter and lays the foundation for the appeal. He lays himself low as a prisoner of Christ Jesus and points them to the one who has bound them all together, God himself. So what are some applications that we can draw out from how Paul has started this letter and introduced himself? Well, it's a call for us to appreciate our own relationships in the church in this way too, and to recognize that it's the grace of God that knits us together and binds us together as his people and a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also a call then to look at what Paul says to the church in Rome, and the command that he gives in Romans 12 and verse 10, where he says, "Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor." Paul models that here in showing Philemon such great honor and speaking so humbly of himself. And that's a command then that ripples out through the church in all ages and in all places, that we are to love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. So obedience to that commandment and remembering with gratitude and with thanksgiving that it is the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ that has knit us together as a fellowship of saints here in Newcastle. And one practical way that we can really think about that and really appreciate that is throughout the coming week to give thanks for it in prayer. Each morning as you look to the scriptures and spend time in God's word, give thanks for the fellowship of the saints that you're privileged to worship with and to grow in grace with this week. That leads us on to the second point, which is the prayer. We've looked at the people and now we look at the prayer. Verses 4 to 6. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So Paul tells Philemon of his prayers of thanksgiving. He does tell him that he is praying for him. He does tell him that when he thinks of Philemon's faith and service, it moves him joyfully to thanksgiving and prayer. He shares that with him. In Paul's own spiritual life, Philemon's faithfulness has been a cause for rejoicing, and that has pointed him then to look up to God as well. He's making mention in his prayers. Paul says he's making mention of Philemon's name in his prayers. So when Paul is praying for faithful men and giving thanks for faithful men who are serving and leading in the church, he's always thinking of Philemon. He's always including Philemon in those prayers. And the specific cause of Paul's prayers is that he has heard of Philemon's love and faith for the Lord Jesus and all the saints. Word of faithfulness travels in Christian circles, and Paul will have heard of Philemon's faithfulness, and it will have made him glad and led him to pray. What precisely does Paul pray for Philemon? Well, we see that in verse 6. He prays that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So Philemon is sharing his faith. That is commended, not prayed for. It's not the prayer that he will go and share his faith. He's commended that he is sharing his faith. Paul's prayer is for the efficacy of Philemon's witness. The potency of it, that it will work and it will point people to God. Truly, it will point them to God. The grounding of that efficacy, the grounding of that potency will be the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. At Youth Fellowship yesterday, we thought about what it means to be salt and light from Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. And that relates to what Paul's praying here for Philemon. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16, our Lord Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So Paul is praying for Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to be fulfilled in Philemon's life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There is no basis for this apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How will they see these good works? What will make these good works? It's that they're done with faith in the Lord Jesus and empowered by the Spirit, and then they're seen as works that are the grace of God flowing through the world, through his people, through the church, through the disciples of Jesus. Those works will be seen and they will cause people to look to God. This past week at the Christian Institute, Richard Turnbull did a training session for us on the role of benefactors, wealthy benefactors in ancient Rome, and how they would have been involved in supporting the public good. And they would have done good works for their community and funded different works in their community so that their own name would have been recognized, but also because they felt some measure of responsibility to their community. And that would have been non-Christian benefactors in the community. Philemon is a man of considerable means, and Paul is praying that his good works, such as they are, will be flowing from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and will be seen and recognized as the supernatural and redemptive grace of God in this world flowing through human hands. He's praying that that witness would be effective. He's praying that that witness would point people savingly to God. That is the prayer. So what are some points of application? Well, we might naturally think, well, we should jump straight into applications that call us to strive to be like Philemon and to be renowned for our love for the saints and our faith. We'll come to that in the next point, but there is an application here to strive to pray like Paul. To strive to pray like Paul. How often are we moved to prayer in thankfulness when we hear of other Christians growing and serving well? Ordinarily, we pray when things are difficult. That's a very natural reflex. But it is the mark of special maturity to pray in sincere thanksgiving when the small things are going well consistently. When the small things are going well consistently, to be giving thanks to God for that. And so we should pray for our brothers and sisters that God would sanctify their gifts so that when they exercise them, it would point others to God, and that it would be an undeniable testament to the grace of God at work in that person, such that even the stoniest-hearted unbeliever would be forced to concede that person makes radical sacrifices because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It truly makes a difference in their life. And the Lord's answering of that prayer will bring refreshment to his people. It will bring refreshment and encouragement and strengthening to the faith of the people of God as we see that prayer answered, that our faith might be effective in showing people the work of God, showing people the redemptive work of God in our lives. So we come then to the third point, which is the pleasant refreshment. And this is from verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. This also relates back to verse 5, where Paul says of Philemon that it was word of his love towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints that was circulating. And this brought Paul joy and consolation. Joy because he had been deeply gladdened by God's work in and through Philemon, and in watching that overflow to the saints in Colossae. But also consolation, comfort, because he was in prison, he was in chains, and so the word of Philemon's faith and service was reassurance that the love of Jesus Christ was spreading through the world. The word of the gospel was spreading through the world. We need to remember that it is in your love that Paul and Timothy found joy and consolation from Philemon's witness. It's so important to remember that what made Philemon a refreshing Christian was that he had a genuine and warm-hearted care for the people of God. That was what refreshed the hearts of the saints. And in the Greek, the word that we've translated as hearts is splachna. splachna, which is actually etymologically related to our own word for spleen. And it more literally could be translated as guts or innermost parts. So in other words, the innermost and most fundamental parts of the saints had been refreshed by Philemon. He had refreshed them deeply with his faith and love. And Paul affectionately says that this was by you, brother. He has refreshed the saints as a brother, as another forgiven sinner. He might have been leader in the church in Colossae. He might have hosted the church in his home, but he was a brother in Christ to those saints. And in that way, he had refreshed them in their most innermost selves. So to draw out some points of application, the refreshing Christian refreshes the saints through their love for Jesus Christ and their love for the people of God. And we think about ourselves, it's that love that animates you to cook a meal for another family. It's that love that inspires you to show hospitality and have people into your home. And it's that love that moves you to take care in listening to your brother or sister share about their struggles. And so we ought to be sensitive to the leading to care for our brothers and sisters. Ultimately, this refreshment, it is God's love flowing through us as his people from one to another. From one to another, God's love flowing through his people to refresh them. And it refreshes us in the most fundamental parts of ourselves. So this week, if you see the opportunity to refresh another believer with a word of encouragement, be sure to take it. And remember that this is only possible because of the grace of Jesus flowing through us. So we need to dedicate ourselves to him and ask him to use us as vessels or jugs that are filled with his love and can bless the saints. So let's pray for him to clean the sin out of our lives and make us overflowing blessings of refreshment to our brothers and sisters. And this is only possible. It is only possible so long as we stay near the foot of the cross. There's going to be no other way that this can happen unless we're near the foot of the cross and we're constantly being refreshed ourselves by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, and thinking on that and meditating on that. It's only as we look to him, it's only as we look to the wounds and the stripes by which we have been healed that we will be in any position then, in any way then, able to show that grace and that love to our brothers and sisters. So this week, we need to stay near to the foot of the cross. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood for us so that we can follow him closely. There's no other way to do it. There's no other source of spiritual power than that which is found at the cross. So let's keep looking to Jesus, keep looking to the cross, keep looking to his sacrifice, keep looking to the blood that was shed to cleanse you, to refresh you. And as you are refreshed, then so you will be able to be a refreshing Christian and a refreshment to others. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the record in our Bibles of how Philemon had been a refreshment to the saints. The saints had been refreshed by him in his love for the Lord Jesus and his love for the saints. And Father, we pray that you would stir that up in us too. We pray that you would stir up in us that love, that greater and greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for us that we might be forgiven and redeemed. Lord, we do pray that as we look to him and we remember what he has done for us and we think upon what he has done for us, we might have that spiritual strength, that spiritual life to follow after you and to love our brothers and sisters. Father, we ask that you would be pleased to do this by your Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.